Maybe I should actually even just elaborate a little bit on what the UTA 100 is if you hadn't heard the episode before.
Like, we should really talk about that.
We should probably really talk about that.
Explain what the acronym is.
Ultra Trail Australia.
I didn't even know that until
yeah,
now.
And 100 stands for 100 kilometres.
61 point
learn the metric system miles.
What is up? I'm Darren, your co-host of Master of Some, a podcast about health and fitness served up as a metaphor for life. If this is your first time listening or you haven't already, please, please hit the subscribe or follow button or whatever you use to listen to us. Make sure that you get alerts when a new episode comes out. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Acast, and a few others. Also, please rate us on whatever app you use and leave a comment. Lastly, send this podcast or your favorite episode to someone that you think will get some value out of this, as the more people that hear about us, the doper stuff we can do to then help other people, and then the cycle continues forever. Please note, there is a language warning as we sometimes cuss/curse, and I'd hate to put you in an awkward moment if we slip up and use some adult bad words. This season is a bit interesting as we are taking a zoomed in, focused approach in tracking Phil's journey to completing the UTA 100 kilometer ultra trail race in May. We're looking at training for and racing this event as a way for extracting some core lessons that you can take away and apply to your own life, learning from the successes and failures. This episode, we touch on the why and what on UTA, objective versus behavior, power models, and more. Moving ahead for the rest of the season, we'll be covering topics such as the mindset of doing something you've never done before, testing for success, a bit of race coverage, raw in the moment experience, reflection on the post-race, what next after the race, and some off-season health focus. I won't hold you up, so let's get into it.
All right, so we're here. We got season two. First season is literally a wrap, and the beauty of the podcasting world is that all of our shit was evergreen, and most of it at least, if not all of it.
Yeah.
So you can go back and listen to that, listener, not everyone. I'm going to speak to you because only one person is listening right now, and we're speaking directly to you. Go back and listen to that first season when you get a chance. Bounce around. It's meant to be more of a book of knowledge, and it's not meant to be a story.
A la carte.
A la carte. There you go. Yes. It's the sides. You just order some sides. You want some fries? You want some bacon?
More like the steamed kale. Like, it's not fries. Like, we don't eat that shit on the Master of Some.
True. Only on cheat day or cheat meal.
That's right.
This is very true. But season one was more of a discovery book. This season, however, is going to be a little bit of a story. And there will be a beginning, middle, and end. Whereas last season, we were trying to figure out what the fuck we wanted to say and what we're doing and how we're going to do it without killing each other. We didn't kill each other. We're here.
And I know it seems seamless, like, you know, from the outside, you guys had no idea. Like, it was completely planned, the whole thing. It was great.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Okay, so we've got Phil going in and conquering or attempting to conquer a race that may or may not break you. Is that correct? Is that you've had nothing? Because exiting last season, which was actually the start to this whole podcast, it was nothing has broken you. Did I say that wrong again?
Maybe. I think this is deja vu. Like,
I keep quoting you wrong.
I think that's roughly right. Like, I've not had a race where I've been kind of where I've stopped. Like, that's forced me to quit. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So this is actually Phil's journey, and I may or may not have spoken about that earlier in the intro with all the music playing. But yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, speak Phil's words. Full disclaimer, I know nothing about ultras. I mean, I know a little bit, and I really don't trail run. If I trail run, it's on the trails with my regular running shoes. I haven't done anything more than a DIY marathon which we might talk about sooner or later.
That was impressive. Like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sub 3 hours in a DIY marathon.
Like, with minimal training.
With minimal training, yeah.
Asterisk. Not marathon-specific training.
Yeah.
Just to see where my body was and how much it could handle. So, yeah, I've got a blog post on that. We will link that in the show notes. But, yeah, without further ado, which probably has been said twice now, I'm going to kind of hand this off to Mr. Phil Cross, and he's going to educate us on the season. He's going to let me know about ultras and why the hell he's doing them. Much respect, but
sure.
I know we just had Anna Maria on last season, but I don't get it.
Okay.
Just run fast for short. Anyway, I won't interject my subjective opinion.
Hey, you don't judge my lifestyle choices.
I won't.
That's distance dist. Wait a minute, is that a word?
Distances. Like,
distances.
Oh, like racist?
Like racist distance. Or sexist?
Huh.
I'm calling you out, Darren. Huh. I'm setting the internet on you. You're prejudiced against people who run a long way. So, yeah, like Darren said, we're kind of going to follow my journey to hopefully completing the UTA 100 later in this year. But this isn't all about me. This is about adding value to you. I'm not so narcissistic that I think everyone wants to hear about how I'm progressing towards achieving a race goal. So hopefully the way we structure this, you'll be able to extract some lessons and some value. And that doesn't mean only for you ultra folk who are completing similar races. It can be applied to anything. We're going to dig into the sort of general principles behind things. So just to give you a bit of a flavor for what you might expect from season two, we're going to look at the mindset of doing something you've never done before. So I've done some 50-kilometer ultras, but never gone for the full kind of 100 with this kind of elevation. We're going to look at testing for success, so how to properly try out things like nutrition and gear and pacing before a race. Again, especially something you've not done before. I guess the theme of this season is kind of stepping up and going beyond your comfort zone into the unknown. We're going to hopefully have some interviews. Those are still being locked down, so I don't want to give away names just yet, but we're going to try and get some more folk. As Darren said before, we interviewed Anna Marie Watson, my good friend and world-class ultra runner last season. So that was episode 9. Please go check that out if you're interested. We're going to have some race coverage. So we're going to have some live in the moment recordings of me potentially swearing more than we usually do on this podcast, depending on how the race is going and how I'm feeling.
Yeah, we'll see with that one. That's I haven't brought my portable podcast gear out to a race that's 100 kilometers long, so I don't know how much I'm going to get, but we'll get something.
If not, it might just be interviewing the support crew talking about how grumpy I am. We'll then have some reflections on the race, so some lessons learned, what went well, what didn't, and again trying to draw out some general principles. And then I think something that's kind of overlooked in our community is the post-race experience, the what's next after you trained for something that's kind of big and consumed your life for a little while. What do you do? How do you set new goals? And also, how do you approach what should be an off season and a period of downtime? There's a few more things we might get into in the season as well, but that's the kind of general theme of the thing.
So with all goals and objectives, there's got to be a strong why.
And I've heard that somewhere before.
I think it was
some wise folk said that.
I think it was the first episode of this podcast, The Master of Some.
Once again, we peaked at episode one.
We keep directing. We reposted that episode. It is pretty absurd how that first episode. I mean, it just shows the greatness.
It's the
humble
greatness.
Humble brag.
Sure.
But yeah, so you got to practice what you preach, man. And what are your whys or your five whys? And that's WHY'S, right? Is it apostrophe?
Yeah.
Does it become possessive? No, why is because it's plural.
Sure. Yeah.
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 So it's why?
This is why?
Why?
This is
why?
Grammar
why?
With Darren and Phil.
So yeah, give them to me, man.
Sure. So I guess the first one is unfinished business. So I've I've kind of scheduled this race in twice before. The first time I was 2 weeks out from it. I was well trained. I was feeling fit. I was feeling good. I went for my last long run with a few friends, and I got Achilles tendinosis, which is
that same as tendonitis?
Well, there is no Achilles tendonitis.
I have tendinosis then.
That's right, yeah.
Shit, I have that right now.
Yeah, so it's a thickening of the tendon. Kind of, I had Paula, my very smart, very talented physio, explained the difference to me.
Is she still in Sydney?
She is, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go to her.
Shout out to the body fixer, Paula Luke. Yeah. If you honestly, she is a wizard.
Have her on. Anyway.
Yeah, we should. We'll go, Paul. She's an absolute wizard.
Definitely.
Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah. So that happened. So I couldn't complete the race. And then last year I was going to do it, and then I didn't realize I had a scheduling conflict with a work thing that I couldn't move. So I knew that months out. So I sort of had to pull the pin on it, which was unfortunate again. So I feel like I've got unfinished business with this race. I've done the 50 before. I loved it. But like the 100 has kind of now eluded me a couple of times. And I realize it's ridiculous like to say that. But psychologically, I feel like there's some unfinished business there. And kind of next on the list is the fact that I think having lofty goals and moving beyond your comfort zone is psychologically healthy. So we know that we only grow by doing things that we haven't done before. Otherwise, it's just repetition. Otherwise, it's just doing, you know, it's, I guess, channeling the grooves even deeper that you've already made. Whereas pushing yourself beyond that, there's some good research about this in terms of failure and pushing beyond and seeing what you can do and what you can't do, in terms of creating new myelin sheaths around your neurons, and actually being able to acquire and develop new skills. So super important.
Yeah, and I'll jump on that. I was speaking with a Vedic, however you want to say it.
I'm not sure. I think
Vedic meditation coach.
Yeah.
And he spoke on creation versus maintenance versus destruction.
Okay.
Mindsets.
Yeah.
And creation is going towards the super uncomfortable, awkward shit.
Yeah.
And then maintenance. And so when you're going through that, you know, when you do something the first time, it's like, oh, this is weird. And then it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And you grow and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But then what happens is you want to, like a drug addict, you want to maintain that first high.
Yes.
So you keep doing the same thing, expecting it to feel like that.
Yep.
And then actually what you need to do is do something more uncomfortable.
That's right.
So you start maintaining without knowing it. You subconsciously maintain and you're not actually growing. You're just trying to get that high from the first creative state. And then if you don't actually pivot, you end up destroying. And he said something like, you nature, the universe, God, whatever you believe in, will take it away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the destruction, or whether you do it. And I was like, that's a really poetic, beautiful way of describing a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it has to be uncomfortable, awkward shit. And that's the, you know, that's the growth. So that's just a little.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that sort of ties into the next part, which is kind of dragon slaying. It gives you a dragon to slay. And, you know, if you listen to like Jordan Peterson has some great points to make on this, like this seems to be hardwired into the zeitgeist of kind of human culture, the overcoming obstacles, having adversity, having difficulty, overcoming and growing as a person while you do, it seems to be fundamental to human nature. We seemed hardwired to do that. So I think having a healthy dragon to slay is kind of part of my why, for sure. And part of that is sharpening my motivation to push myself in training. You know, exactly as you were saying before, if I had no specific goal, would I go out and do a 6-hour training run? Probably not. But will going out and doing a 6-hour training run take me to some places that I've not been before? Will it push me out of my comfort zone? Will it force me to do something difficult? And will I grow as a person? Yeah, probably. And I think that's the whole. And going back to what we kind of said at the start, seeing if it breaks me is interesting, and not in a sort of masochistic way, and not in an egotistical way either. Like, not, you know, like, oh, I'm so tough, I need to find this really hard race to see if it, like, you know, breaks me down. But just seeing, I've not had that experience in a race. You know, I've been in races and hurt before, but I've never had to stop. Like, I've never, like, been pushed so hard or for so long. And I'm not sure I can, I'm not sure I've got the wiring. And I've never really tried to push so hard in a, say, like a 10K race where I just collapse, where I, like Alistair Brownlee style, just start wobbling and fall over. I'm not sure my central governor, shout out to Tim Noakes, if you've not researched central governor, I suggest taking a look at that. But I'm not sure my central governor will let me do that. So I've got to kind of create that by through distance and time rather than intensity. So you see what I mean?
That's a good rebuttal to my just run really fast and hard.
Yeah.
It's like it's similar to a lot of people that go into triathlons a long distance.
Yes.
They just a friend of mine who loves doing 7-hour bike rides for fun.
Sure.
He's like, my 5K time is the same as my 10K time, is the same as my half, like the pace. Sorry.
Yeah,
pace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, it's 5 minutes per K. 10K, 5 minutes per K. He's like, I have one gear, you know? And I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, but, you know, I come from a sprint background, basketball, fast twitch muscles, obviously. It's genetics, and I also worked on them at an early age. So I'm just like, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? So it's we come from very different backgrounds, literally, you know, and literally. So it's interesting that's actually, you just framed my, why the hell are you doing long distance stuff?
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can get it. So unfortunately, you know, it takes you a lot of time to to break yourself or attempt to break yourself, see what the breaking point is.
Sure.
Whereas it takes me a less amount of time. So
that's right.
Just a quick, not to hijack your
this is great.
Number three, why? I realized that I had to slay my dragon with the DIY marathon.
Yeah, nice.
And I had been, you know, I really in my head, and I wrote a blog post on this, like why I had to do this marathon.
Go read it, by the way. It's really good.
Thank you, Phil. And it, you speaking the way you're speaking, that was me doing this damn sub-3-hour marathon.
Mm.
And it's not going to break any world records. It's an impressive time of sorts, you know, compared to professional elite runners, it ain't shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, compared to most runners, like, that's pretty damn good time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see where my aerobic system was, because I had been, you know, doing this training for 6 years ago. That was my whole thing. It was do an Ironman and also do a marathon in this time. So to test my body in a different way, not like distance. It was actually, what's the least amount of training I can do to actually see the most amount of gains?
Yeah.
To see how efficient and effective and economical my system is, my body, my running form, my aerobic system and all that stuff. So back to you, man. I think you're number four. Why?
No, yeah, that was great. So yeah, sharpening my motivation to push myself, finding my limit, which again, I think is an interesting thing for me. And to the endurance training point as well, like I genuinely love like long runs on trails. Like I would do that for fun anyway, like a 3-hour run. Like I was out in the Blue Mountains this weekend and like just went, and I was, you know, there doing some training, but just like I went for a 3-hour run on those trails, and it's just phenomenal. Like it's stunning nature and the solitude of being out in the bush. Like I just genuinely like the training, but getting to the mountains is sometimes a pain in the ass, and this kind of forces me to get there because I have to do the training, which is pretty good.
It's so beautiful out there. Yeah. I finally went hiking out there for the first time. I did the generic Three Sisters walk a few years ago.
Yeah.
That was nice. It was super generic. I really didn't care about nature.
Sure.
But as I've been running and just going to Centennial Park, which is it's the central park of Sydney.
Sure.
It's the main huge park. There's this outer rim that's all off road. I usually cycle cross it, but I had been riding running it the past few years, and now that I moved away from Centennial Park, I miss it.
Yeah,
I miss just,
I do that run all the time. I love it,
zoning like, out.
Yeah,
it's fucking beautiful. You lived in Redfern, so you knew about it.
Yeah,
when you lived in Redfern, it's so fucking awesome, and it really made me interested in doing proper runs off-road. Obviously, living in Sydney, it's hard.
Yeah.
You have to travel to the run. You can't just
That's right.
from your door. And my partner and I, we hiked the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm sure. Yeah, I've never been, but like it looks
Wait,
awesome.
You've never done... No, the Grand Canyon in Blue Mountains.
Oh,
Sydney.
Okay. Sorry.
The Grand Canyon hike.
Not
the Grand Canyon.
I was
going to
say. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The one,
yeah, yeah.
Like it drops 12 degrees.
Yeah.
And you're like in basically a rainforest. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It's great.
And the waterfall, like I didn't even know that existed an hour drive, our 50-minute drive outside of Sydney, and I hear there's even, you know, there's nicer ones or longer ones, and if you look at the Strava
they're all
map,
good.
There's
yeah.
so much mountain biking. Like, I didn't know that was an hour and a half from Sydney, and I know why so many people go out to the Blue Mountains now to get the fuck away from Sydney.
Yeah.
It's like going upstate New York when you live in New York City. So,
it's fantastic.
So, yeah, man, just another yeah, addition to that.
All good. Another reason, it's a dragon that's ecological as well, and I'll get onto that in a second, but... I've got lots of projects going on in my life at the moment, and doing Ironman and training for riding and swimming as well would be, I'll still ride, like, you know, riding's good cross training and it's good for recovery. It's good for sort of, you know, enhancing my aerobic base as well. You know, it's a supplement to running. The running, even the long running, like is very doable, actually. You know, you're never running more than an hour on weekdays, and then you get out and do some long runs at the weekend. That's very doable with my, like, what the other stuff I want to achieve in my life. So I realized that wasn't like a cascading Y set. Like, you know, it wasn't Y to the Y to the Y to the Y. You know, when you get down to everything, it's a kind of deeper why for me there. I'm kind of going beyond five, but that's okay. Is the I have a proclivity to discount my achievements. So I'll finish a race, and you know, some people you see that finish line photo and they're like fists clenched in the air and this yeah kind of.
You are an Iron Man,
and people are so happy. And my reaction to finishing literally everything in my life is, yeah, that wasn't a big deal. What next? Like, really, like, I don't think anything I do is a big deal or worthy of praise from myself or anyone else. So this, I'm slowly kind of retraining myself from that to kind of count and acknowledge the things I do. And if I can't acknowledge running 100 kilometers in the mountains, then, you know, that's I'll probably have to do some more work. So that's another one.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So because we plan most of our episodes and we plan what we're writing, Phil wrote, and I don't get this, objective versus behaviors. Touch on 14 hours being out of my control, stoicism, behavior, training, recovery, mindset, etc. Phil, please tell me what the fuck that means.
Seamless show notes, pre-show notes. Basically, just an acknowledgement of the difference here between an outcome goal. So with the UTA 100, if you finish it within... So maybe I should actually even just elaborate a little bit on what the UTA 100 is if you hadn't heard the episode before.
Like, we should really talk about that.
We should probably really talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a...
Explain what the acronym is.
Ultra Trail Australia.
I didn't even know that until
And 100 stands for 100 kilometers.
61 point
learn the metric system miles. And it's through the Blue Mountains in Australia. I think there's about 4,000 meters of elevation in the race, which is
7,000 feet, I think.
Which 7,000 learn the metric system feet. And it's tough. There's lots of stairs. There's lots of climbs. The weather can be unpredictable because it's in the mountains. You have to, you know, carry a lot of water and nutrition and gear.
It's not self-supported.
It's There are
eight stations, right?
There are eight stations. Yeah, yeah.
I hear Soup's a big one.
Yeah, whatever.
Every
need.
Ultra trail where it's like, I just got the soup.
Soup. Yeah,
I just ate the soup. I'm like,
you crave weird stuff. Like in long races, you start getting sick of what you've got, and you
Fair.
Just yeah. I remember Ironman Busselton. I was just so sick of my nutrition, and then I grabbed a piece of watermelon from one of the aid stations, and it was the literally the finest thing I think I've ever eaten in my life. Anyway, so yeah, that's the race, and if you finish in under 14 hours, you get a silver belt buckle, which is
like the wrestling,
like a WWE, yeah, and it's like you can come in and hit your opponent around the face with it in the
Macho Man Randy Savage.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's the race, and I want to finish it in under 14 hours, it's doable, but it's, you know, it's not easy. But I recognize that is out of my control. Like there could be any number of things on the day that cause me to not do that. You know, I'll hopefully my training, so my behavior goals, which are how I train, what I eat, how I recover, my meditation and mindset training, all of that is within my control. And I have an outcome goal, but I'm also not attached to it. You know, if I complete the race and I know I've given it my all in training and on the day, and for whatever reason, you know, say it's just torrential rain and stuff like that, and I don't complete it in under 14 hours, so be it. But that's the goal.
I like that. That is just to give you a bit more perspective. If you're a short distance runner like me and you hear 14 hours over 100Ks and you're like, fuck pace is that, man? That is an average of 8 minutes, 24 seconds per kilometer.
Which doesn't sound fast.
But all that climbing and up and down shit, that's bananas.
You're walking a lot of the hills. You're having to be really careful with your footwork on a lot of the descents because there's some...
Brain ankle, you're done.
It's fairly technical bits.
Yeah.
And also running to pace in these races is you running to feel and running to kind of heart rate is because running to pace is just almost impossible because you've got flat sections of like, you know, slightly downhill fire trail where you can be running, you know, sub 5 minute Ks. Probably that might be over egging it a bit, but you can run fast enough. But then you've got bits where you are just walking. So trying to look at like an average pace is apart from seeing if you're on track for your goal time is not particularly helpful in terms of like measuring your effort. So yeah.
Thank you. So tell me more about the power model, which guess what? We spoke about that on season one, episode one. Good goals. Go back and listen to that. But tell me more about this power model, because we practice what we preach here at the Master of Some.
That's right. So if I kind of look at my goal through the lens of the power model, which is basically a goal setting framework, if you're in the business world, you're probably familiar with SMART goals. Throw that in the trash. It's a bit rubbish. Power model's way better. So P stands for a positively articulated goal. So you're towards motivated for your goal. It's not like I don't want a DNF. It's I want to finish the race strong and feel good in under 14 hours. Like that's my goal. I want to finish in under 14 hours knowing I did everything I could to achieve that. The O stands for ownership. So do I have control over the goal? I already talked about kind of no, I don't have control over the 14 hours necessarily, but I do have control over how I train and what I eat and how I recover leading into it. So that's the ownership component. So this is the what does success look like, and what are you going to do specifically? So here again, the success is measured in, well, two things: is the specific time, but also my measure of, you know, objectively or subjectively, how did I feel I did. I've got some things in place to track that. I've got a huge spreadsheet of variables that I've drawn up for the race, like covering everything from gear, from the type of training I need to do, from the type of nutrition to where it's good to the different aid stations on the course. I think there's about 100 point variable spreadsheet that looks at everything on here.
Ali, I love spreadsheets and fitness.
If anyone wants a copy of that, email talksomeshit@themasterofsome.com and I'll send you a copy.
Yeah.
themasterofsum.com or talksomeshit@masterofsumpod.com. They all come to the same place. Cool. Or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, send me a note and I'll send you a copy. that and like weekly check-ins with my mood to see how I'm doing subjectively. So that's
good. Huge. I'm really big
is.
On that.
Because I need the energy. Like I said, I've got a lot of personal projects on and work projects and a lot going on in my life. And this podcast, this thing.
Takes up time.
And I want to be able to devote time and energy to those things. Like, I want to do well at this race, but I don't want it to suck my life. And I know I can train, you know, with relatively minimal training and still accomplish this. So just that check-in. And then ecology is the next one. That's the E in power model. So how does it fit with the rest of my life? So, you know, I'm not going to lose my relationship or my job over training for this thing. It fits in pretty well. Like, I know I can do the training and succeed. I'm not sacrificing anything. Like, I'd be training anyway. So this is fine. And the last thing in the power model is resources. Do I have the resources to accomplish this? That's kind of a moot point here. Like, the, you know, there's a entry fee and I've got to go stay in the Blue Mountains, but yes, I can afford running shoes in the entry fee. So, I'm all good on that front.
Oh, you privileged motherfucker.
I know that's my privilege showing right there. It's running shoe privilege.
So there you have it. That is season 2, episode 1.
We made it.
Finding Ultra. We made it. We are...
Shout out to Rich Roll for stealing the title of the episode.
Who?
Rich Roll. Famous vegan ultra endurance athlete. He's got the Rich Roll podcast. It's really good.
Oh, it sounds like Rick Roll. Like someone.
It does sound like Rick Roll, but yeah. It's Rich Roll. He's a cool guy. I like him.
I think I should play that song now.
Do it. Do it.
Like, who was it? It was...
Rick Astley?
Yeah, oh my God, I thought he was black. Until I saw the video last year. I swore he was black.
How?
Oh my God.
Really? Never gonna give you up?
That is my jam, man. My mom used to play that. I thought Hall & Oates was black until I was 18 and I saw him live. And I called my mom and said, "You lied to me my whole life." And she was like, "Everyone knew they were white." I was like, "Well, you listened to them and they were soulful, so I thought they were fucking black."
That's hilarious.
Anyway. So yeah, Rich Roll.
Rich Roll.
Rich Roll.
Yeah. That's the title of his book. I've got a copy of it downstairs. Finding Ultra. Really good book.
Finding Ultra. Okay. Yeah. Now I know where the title came from.
That's right.
I thought you made that up.
No, I'm not that poetic.
Where can people find you on Strava, even though Strava's URLs are pretty shit? What do they type into the search bar?
They
want to track you and hold you accountable.
Find me in the show notes to this, because I don't know the URL for my Strava account cool. off the top of my head. So there will be a link to it in the show notes, though. And yeah, feel free to follow along and you can see how I'm getting on.
Cool. Well, I will be possibly jumping on for some of the long runs.
Yeah.
Maybe for like an hour. I don't know. You'll be going at a decent enough pace where it'll be
long.
Easy. Long is like 5 hours, right?
Yeah. Some of the long, long ones will probably be like, 5-6 hours.
All right, I'll catch you middle of the week for your hour runs then. That's what I'll
do. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, because I'm...
Or the first half of the long ones. Like, I'll be doing some local ones.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll flick the show notes on the actual episode if you want to click on some links. I think they'll be clickable. And
hey, any requests for any topics you'd like us to cover, like any curiosities, anything you're burning to know about, let us know in the comments or shoot us a note and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, all the social media, we're cool with it. Instagram's a hot one, as we were discussing earlier before we hit record. So yeah, shoot us
where the kids are.
Every kid is on there right now. Facebook is for old people. Who uses Twitter? I mean, what the fuck is that thing? So yeah, hit us up on the Instagram or the email.
MAGA guys, everyone in the US who's angry at each other, I think, uses
alt-right,
Twitter.
Alt-right. This is not a political podcast. We won't do that. So hopefully if Darren, myself, is doing the production right, the theme music should be playing us out right now like the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it's like, shut the fuck up, guys. So I'm going to do a slow fade out on us and then I'm going to come back on top and say to subscribe, rate, and comment.
Narrating the production. I like it. Yeah.
So, we're pretty consistent beings and I'm just going to, this should be a fade out right now. So
Okay.
We're going to, all right. Yeah.
See you on the trails.
I'll keep ranting. I'll keep ranting on this. See you on the trails. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that's it. As always, we really appreciate you taking the time to listen to us ramble about shit that we think you could find of interest and that we find of interest and hopefully help everyone out there. Again, please subscribe, rate, comment, and share on whatever you use to listen to us. If you have any questions or concerns or even suggestions for episodes, or hell, if you want to be on the show, hit us up on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or talk some shit at masterofsumpod.com. That's spelled the normal way. Thank you so much. Peace.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.